Today on Real Radio.
Confess it to him, he'll forgive it, cover it, and get it out. If you don't, and you hide it, and try to keep it a secret without taking it to him, your sin will find you out. God will display it in the sky.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Now, any student of Scripture knows that the Bible is full of passages about the foolish as well as the wise. Folly or foolishness is all around us. In fact, we all have done things that are foolish, that is, if we're honest with ourselves. Now, in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, we learn that David is no exception. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called How to Handle the Fool.
And about 400 men went with David and 200 stayed with his supplies. 400 men to kill one guy? 400 men. Gonna issue and carry out David's will. What's David doing? He's been insulted, mocked, and injured. What do we do? Kill him! There's no consultation of God. David is God's man. And now look, the sin of Nabal, and here's what happens to us. The sin of the fool so upsets us that we enter into that sin. We can be having a fine day, and somebody comes by, I don't like you. We should just keep having a fine day. But that gets under our skin, and it begins to, you know, boil there and get all, you know, pussy, like a splinter in your finger. And it's a little tiny thing, but it starts to really bug you, and then everything you reach for, you seem to hit that little thing. Ow! And now you're super sensitive to that thing. You know what he said to me? He said he didn't like me. And then it begins to eat on you. Why would you let another man's sin become your sin? Get rid of it. Forget about it. It's not worthy of your attention. Because if you don't let it go, and if you go to do what David's about to do, it'll destroy your life. I'll make you like me. Now, if David is going to carry out what he's starting, God will intervene. The tragedy is the insult, the mockery, and the slander that Nabal puts upon David, it will have its end effect upon David's life. It will ruin him. And when somebody attacks David, or you, or me, it doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be true at all. All we have to do, church, is mismanage what comes to our lives. And isn't that true even if something good comes to our lives? We can mismanage good things even. This is a very dangerous thing. David is allowing sin to take hold of his life. Years ago, I told the church, and it's actually still there to this day, but this tree, we planted a sycamore tree when we bought our house, and the girls named it. His name's Zacchaeus, and now he's giant, and now my kids are giant, and they don't even probably notice the tree anymore. But it's massive, you know? Giant sycamore tree. But when we got him, he was in a 5-gallon plastic container. And we got pictures of the kids, you know, we're digging the hole and putting them in. The girls have gloves on. The gloves are so big. Gloves are like the size of their head. That's so cute looking. But they named the tree. And as the tree grew up, I always kept the branches really low because they love to climb the tree. So you got to keep the branches when the kids are young kind of low so they can climb up the tree. And then they grew up and they stopped climbing the tree. And in one of the branches, I'm mowing the lawn. I'm mowing and whack! I ran right into this branch, and I just stopped the mower. I went in the garage, and I got the bow saw, and I just cut it right off. And the interesting thing was, I don't know why I did this, but I left about 8 inches of that branch sticking out. And it's there to this day. And I have been up in that tree. I'm not going to say how recent. It's none of your business. But it's interesting because I can't reach the rest of the branches unless I grab onto that stub that was left from years ago. And what David is doing is he's allowing a remnant of his old sinful life to be available so that sin might climb up and take advantage. All you have to do is have a little bit of the door open or a little bit of the tree hanging so sin can take hold and advance upward to destroy. And now, with what's going on, David, he's the king in waiting. He's got mighty men of valor. And he just got done handling chapter 24 so well. And just, I mean, is this not how our lives are? Great spiritual victory. And then we turn and step right into a puddle of nothing and get all whacked out and goofed up on things. Didn't Solomon say it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes? You know that. In the vineyards, they would build fences to keep out those big, nasty foxes, because those foxes would come and eat all your grapes. But when the grapevines are just producing the grapes, the little tiny grapes, when they're the most tender, Solomon found out it's those little pups. It's the little puppy foxes that slither between the rocks, they get between the fence, and they run in and they eat all of the little virgin grapes, and they ruin the whole crop. It's the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. It's the little sins that trip you and I up. The Bible warns us to be careful and not to be ensnared or have a sin trip us up or beset us. The book of Hebrews says, don't let it grab us and pull us down. It's usually the really silly little things that we don't think are big that get us. Maybe you battled with alcohol in earlier years, and now you're not worried about that because you know what? You don't get near it. That's great. God bless you. Stay at it. But what does get you? Is it temper? Is it something else? Paul tells us that when we think we're strong in an area, watch out. Because that's the area most often that we fail at, we fall in. Oh, I got this one handled. I got this area in my life covered. And the Bible warns us that's the very area that we'll probably wind up tripping in. Oh, I can embrace this. The Bible says, can a man embrace fire to his bosom and not be burned? Yeah, I can. Well, what makes you think you can? I've handled it before. Be careful. In those areas that you think you're strong, that's where you'll become most weak. So, this danger zone in Paul's life, or David's life, I should say. He has not consulted with God. Could that be a danger of ours? Listen, he feels totally justified in his actions. I suggest that that's what you and I do. But I'm right on this one. You may be right on this one. But is it what God wants? David could say, God's people deserve better. That's true. That's why we're waiting to get to heaven. But our emotions will demand God's people deserves better. It's wrong for Nabal to act this way. It's wrong for that man to treat me that way, or for that woman to have done that, or those people, or that family. Good argument. Not denying that. David could have even said, you know what, and to top it off, it must be the will of God that I go and kill him because his name means fool. I mean, if that's not an open door, what is? And see, we can justify. We can do that. And the sad thing is, David has really gone down. And the scary thing is, all of us, if we're honest, can see a part of David in us for the good and a part of Nabal in us for the bad. Because what is of Nabal is now possessing a little bit of David. And that concerns us. In Proverbs 17:12, it says, "Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly." You don't want to meet a mama bear who's lost her cubs. She'll rip you in half. Proverbs says it's easier for you to contend with that bear than a fool who's in the midst of his folly. It's easier to deal with a mama bear looking for her cubs than to deal with a fool. Well, here are some verses about how to identify a fool. You want to know how? Proverbs 28:26. "The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin." So in other words, Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." So Proverbs 28:26 is one who trusts in his own heart. Proverbs 10:8 is the one where it says, "A wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin." So a fool, you can't teach him anything. You want to know why you can't teach a fool anything? Because they know everything. Now, here, let me show you. I got it. A fool has never done it before, but they'll write a book on it. And if you ever see a fool get ready to do something like that, get out your camera and record it and mail it in, and you might win $10,000. Because the fool will say, "Here, I'll show you how to jump out of an airplane," and he'll forget the parachute. You know, that kind of a thing. They know everything. You can't tell them anything. And if in your area, you could be an expert, you know, on rocket science, and in the presence of a fool, you can say, "Well, you know, I know a little bit about rockets." And the fool will hear that, and he'll take off and talk about how much he knows rockets. And what do? You know what? You just let him go. Because he won't listen to you. The Bible says, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." Proverbs 10:23, "To do evil is like sport to a fool." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." See, a fool begins to justify, and David's getting dangerously close, though God will rescue him. Proverbs 14:16 says, "A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but fools are hot-headed and reckless," says the Bible. As I read these verses, you begin to find out, I think I know some of these people. And then it gets real quiet, because then we begin to see parts of us in and of these people. In Romans chapter 12:21, the Bible says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." That's how you combat a fool, is just maintain the goodness of God. Don't let a fool get you sinning. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And when a man is operating in that place, he's a fool. Verses 14 to 17, how to handle a fool. We know that God has his ways. God has his ways, and one of those is that God will expose the fool. Now, verse 14 says, one of the young men told Abigail. By the way, this is one of Nabal's men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall to us, both by night and by day. All the time we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a scoundrel. A son of Belial, or a son of Satan, that one cannot speak to him." Abigail, go talk to your husband, because David and his men, they're going to come back and kill all the men, including Nabal. And who can talk to your husband about this? Nobody, he won't listen to anybody. Man, this is amazing. God will expose the fool. In this case, by telling his wife. I think that's probably how it happens most of the time anyway, isn't it? If your wife is walking with the Lord, guys, you're not going to hear this, but if your wife is walking with the Lord, she's one of the greatest barometers in your life regarding spiritual direction or spiritual things. Remember that. Well, listen, sin unrepented of will be exposed. Nabal's whole life is a sin. But sin, if we were to take Nabal's life and whittle it down, it would be sin. And sin unrepented of will be exposed. Now listen to this. Who in this room is not a sinner? If you raise your hand, you're gonna need the paddy wagon, you know? Crazy. Who in here? Well, we've all sinned. Now listen. When you sinned, let's say it was a sin and it's in the past. Did you come to the place of repentance, asking God for forgiveness, and did you talk to God about it? And did you forsake it? If you did, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. He takes it away. But if you did not repent of it, that is, you did not see it wrong in the eyes of God, you did not see it wrong, and you're nurturing it, and you're looking for opportunity to still do it, just know this, your sin will find you out. In other words, confess it to him, he'll forgive it, cover it, and get it out. If you don't, and you hide it, and try to keep it a secret without taking it to him, your sin will find you out. God will display it in the sky. It will come out. Why? Because he wants to kill me? No. He wants you to grow spiritually. So he wants that to be dealt with in your life. He wants it to be taken away. And so if in our lives there is sin, could be a secret sin, take it to him now. Don't delay. Because he who seeks to cover his sin, it shall be exposed. Jesus speaks about how what is done in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. And you're like, oh no, that just scares me to death. That'll ruin my life. Pastor, I'll be horrible. Confess it to him. And it doesn't have to go that way. Tell him. And see to it that you understand that that sin was against him before it was against anyone else. Unless we repent of sin, it will have its way. Very quickly, and we'll be done with this portion of the study, we'll go down to verse 22 here. Verses 18 to 22, know that God has his ways, God will judge the sin. God will establish justice his way, my friend, and in his timing. Then Abigail made haste, listen to this gal, and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, go on before me. See, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. So it was as she rode on the donkey that she went under cover of the hill. And there David was with his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Verse 21, now David had said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed and all that of his belongings to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. Verse 22, may God do so and more also to the enemies of David if I leave one male of all who belong to him by morning light. David is in a rage. God will judge sin. And so we're going to leave off here with David. He's got his sword. There's a cloud of dust behind him. He's probably got goggles on, and he's hanging onto the reins, and he's just grinding his teeth, and he's got just Nabal in his sights. Isn't this amazingly out of character for David? You say, well, yeah, it sure is. Have you ever acted, I don't mean necessarily like this, but have you ever been out of character and it's almost unexplainable? See, man, that's not like me. What's going on? Why am I acting like this? Could it be that for a moment, we have now ceased to walk in the Spirit, now we're walking in the flesh? One of the signs of it, in the context of our study, is vengeance. I'm going to get back at him, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And you have to be careful that that does not happen. Some people are given so much a piece of their mind, they have nothing left anymore. But the point, and we'll pick it up next time, don't let another man who is sinning against you cause you to sin. That's how you handle a fool. You don't let him get under your skin. Now, next time when we get together, this is important stuff because Abigail is married to an idiot. And we're going to see how she conducts herself. And it's quite encouraging. She is going to defend her husband, who doesn't deserve defending. She's going to be a blessing to all of the men who are of her husband's company, employment. This lady's life will bless all of David's men. And this woman's witness will be a tremendous tool by where the Holy Spirit convicts David so radically that he has got to bow to her in respect and say, woman, you are far more righteous than I am. She just absolutely wins the day. Because you know what? Even though she's married to a lunatic, she's married to God first. And her witness is so Christ-like that the example will be given to us that best we be married to God as well. Because her witness is so precious, even to this hour, even in the life that you and I live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called How to Handle the Fool. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 25 and part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this Old Testament historical book. And we'll continue with more of How to Handle a Fool on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's our Monday evening television program. And last night's was another good one. You really should check that out when you get a chance. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org, that's our website. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org. You can watch, listen, search, browse by category. Check out all that's available in our store. It's all right there. There are tabs and buttons that take you to archived Real Radio broadcasts, Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, you can subscribe to and get in your email box. We've got resources that'll help you grow as a believer and a whole lot more. So check out reallifewithjackhibbs.org when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, if you're on the go and you want even more convenience, download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.